Sometimes I have a problem following directions. If you don't believe that, just ask my wife and she will tell you. I don't have a problem asking for directions. There's a big thing about men never asking for directions. But of course, in our age of GPS, you know, we have a GPS, each of us on our phone. We have a GPS someplace in our car that we haven't used in years. So I just have a problem following directions sometimes. And I've learned over the years that sometimes you really need to follow directions. Putting toys together. Well, I remember, you know, Christmas Eve's putting kids' toys together until 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, assembling bookshelves or things like that. You know, I'm going to follow the directions. And, you know, when I get done and I got a few parts left over, try and figure out why. Hooking up computer components. It's usually best to follow the directions. Otherwise, you've got to go back and delete things and start all over again. So, but sometimes in the big things, I, for whatever reason, seem to have trouble following the directions. So let's start with a prayer. Father God, we give you thanks for your word. That's all the directions we need in life. It doesn't tell us how to put together toys or attach computer components, but it gives us directions we need for the big things in life. Lord, how to be a good parent, a good child, a good employer, a good employee. And so, Lord, help us to come to you, to the book that we need to follow all the time. And so, Lord, as we look at the message you have for us this morning, Father, help us to take it in, and Lord, as you show us, to put it into practice. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I can't say that I have ever heard the voice of God speak to me. Okay, that audible voice. I know some people claim that they have heard God speak to them. And, you know, that may very well be true. That's between them and God. But, you know, I'm not saying that no, it can't happen. It hasn't happened to me. But I know I've often been prompted by God to do or to not do things. You know, you get that still small voice, which I guess really is the voice of God, that there's been times when I've just felt led to pray for someone and then found out why later. There's been times when I've just been driving down the road and getting ready to go by somebody's house and just stop in, and that's what I was supposed to do, or make a phone call or whatever it might be. You know, you get those promptings from the Lord. Putting together the messages that I have given over the years. I know some pastors, they use the lectionary. Now, if you're not familiar with what the lectionary is, it's actually the Revised Common Lectionary, which they began using in 1994, has years A, B, and C. And this is an A year, and it starts with Advent and then goes through the year to the Sunday before Advent. So what the lectionary does is it gives you an Old Testament reading, gives you a reading in the Psalms, gives you a gospel reading, and then another reading somewhere in the New Testament. And I feel that God can use that, and he may have been, you know, guiding the people that put that together for other people to use. But at the same time, I kind of look at it as, okay, God, you know, I'm going to give a sermon this week, and you've got to give me the message from one of these four readings. Now, the four readings quite often are connected to each other in some way, you know, maybe talking somewhat about the same topic. But, you know, I think that God, you know, he works a little different than that, I guess. And I prefer to have God speak to me, if you will, in different ways. Maybe our daily devotions. Not that I'm copying whatever that was, but there may be a scripture that was used in that devotion, and it just makes something click with me. And so that's where I'm going to go with a message, or maybe something that I hear on the radio or on TV or the current events, you know, what's going on in the world, you know, certainly makes us want to see what God has to say about those things. And the season, too, you know. Now, you know, I'm not a Mother's Day, Father's Day person, you know, where you've got to have a message about those subjects. You know, you get into Advent or into, you know, whatever season of the year. And, you know, I quite often will have a message that goes along with whatever that is. But sometimes God points me in a certain direction and I'm going to say, really, God? Do you want me to speak about that? You know, I don't know. That's a pretty tough subject and it's a pretty hot topic, and I know there's a lot of people that are going to be listening to this that they may not agree with me or may not agree with you. So I know when we feel God leading us to do something, let's call it unusual, something out of our comfort zone, we can maybe relate to how others may have felt the same way. When God said, I want you to go here, or I want you to speak to these people. And, you know, they responded, do you want me to do what, God? So let's look at some of those instances that we find in the Bible and things that God has asked people to do. So how about Abraham in Genesis chapter 22? Okay, verses 1 through 3. It says, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. The next morning, Abraham got up early, saddled his donkey, and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. You know, I've got to wonder, between that conversation with God and when Abraham got up in the morning and saddled the donkey, if Abraham wasn't on his knees saying, you want me to do what, God? I waited years for Isaac, and you want me to do what with him? And, you know, you're the one that gave Isaac to us. You know, and what about your promise to make a great nation from us, you know, through Isaac? And, you know, what? I don't know, God. Boy, you want me to do that. What about Moses? Okay. Started with a burning bush. Okay, that was pretty classic. And, you know, Moses sees this burning bush and goes over it, not thinking, boy, I bet that's God, but going over to see, you know, what's going on here? You know, I can see the flames, but the bush itself isn't on fire. It's just the flames are in the bush and it's not burning up. What's up with that? And so then when he started to find out what was going on, you know, it was like, you want me to do what, God? I really don't know. Is you got the right person here? Or then there's our good friend Gideon, the guy that puts the Bibles in the hotels. Okay, in Judges chapter 6, God's angel went to see Gideon. And where was Gideon? He was hiding. He was threshing wheat in a wine press. So verse 14, this is what we hear. The Lord turned to him, Gideon, and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? And Gideon's response to this in verse 15 is, but Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. I like the way the message puts it, as usual, it's in a little bit different term. But verse 15 there says, "Me, my master? How and with what could I ever save Israel? Look at me. My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the runt of the litter." I like that. In other words, he's saying, our family is nothing, and I'm a nobody in my family. And you want me to do what, God? I don't know. You know, there's got to be somebody else that can do this. And then there's the well-known story of Jonah. Excuse me. God wanted Jonah to go from Joppa 500 miles to the east to Nineveh. Well, Jonah didn't think that that was a good idea. And so he didn't just stay in Joppa and say, nah, I'm not going to do that. He hops on a ship and starts heading west to Tarshish, which is about 2,000 miles away. Now, going to Tarshish would have been easier and probably quicker because it was pretty much all by ship. And most all of the journey to Nineveh would have been on land, which would have taken him 3-4 weeks. But Jonah didn't want to go because he was prejudiced against the people there. They don't deserve to hear about you, God. You know, they're a bunch of sinners, a bunch of losers, and they do not deserve it. And so I'm not going to go because you've asked me to do something that is really out there. And I just, not going to do it. Well, let's skip to the New Testament and go to Acts chapter 9. Okay, in verses 1 through 19, this is where Saul is converted on the road to Damascus. And listen to verses 11 through 14. This is from the NIV. And Saul has gotten to Damascus. And now God wants to restore Saul's sight. And so he calls on this guy, Ananias. And it says, the Lord told him, Ananias, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm that he's done to your people in Jerusalem. And he's come here with the authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. And let me go to the message again. And this is what it says. Get up, speaking to Ananias, and go over to Straight Avenue. Ask at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus. His name is Saul. He is there praying. He's just had a dream in which he saw a man named Ananias enter the house and lay his hands on him so he could regain his sight. Ananias protested, Master, you cannot be serious. Everybody is talking about this man and the terrible things he's been doing, his reign of terror against your people in Jerusalem. And now he's shown up here with papers from the chief priests that give him license to do the same thing to us. What are you asking me to do, God? Well, what about you? What has God asked you to do? Something that you're maybe sure that you could never accomplish. You know, maybe like Abraham. Now, I kind of doubt that God has asked you to sacrifice your child, but maybe to sacrifice other things that you hold dear to yourself. You know, maybe God has asked you to move to another place, and maybe where you're living, you really like it. Maybe you've lived there your whole life. You know, you were born there, you went to school there, your spouse is from there, all your families are there, and God says, I want you to pack up and go 500, 1,000, 5,000 miles away. And that's a sacrifice. And you're not sure if you can do it or if you want to do it. Or maybe like Moses. Now, I don't think God has asked you to lead millions of people out of slavery. But maybe he's asked you to stand up and to let people know what you believe, to be more bold when you're talking about him and, you know, being out there and letting people know why you don't do certain things or why you don't go certain places or why you don't watch certain movies or TV shows or whatever it might be. It's not because you just don't like them, it's because you love the Lord. Or maybe God has asked you to go into battle, drastically outnumbered, like Gideon. Probably not. But he's maybe asked you to do something that just doesn't sound like something that you could accomplish. You know, certainly not on your own. And so you're really just kind of afraid to go out there and try it, because it just doesn't look like something that you could ever possibly do. Or how about Jonah's task? You know, maybe God has asked you to go to a city and change lives there. You know, maybe again, you're comfortable where you are and God needs you in ministry someplace else. You know, maybe you're part of a church that you love. You know, our son and his family are in the process of moving from Denver to Oklahoma City. They've been going to this church for over 6 years that they really love. It's a great church, you know, dynamic preaching and all kinds of ministries to people in that area and missions, and, you know, they really love it. But, you know, God is saying, I need you to go someplace else. And so, you know, God's going to make that happen. Maybe that's you. And how about Ananias? Maybe God hasn't asked you to change the lives of millions of people, but maybe just one person. And you know how that person feels about Christ. You know, maybe you've made weak attempts in the past to talk to them, and they've always been, you know, dead set against it and laugh at you and all. And so you've been kind of afraid, but maybe that's what God's asking you to do now. Abraham, Moses, Gideon, Jonah, Ananias, God did not ask any of them to accomplish their tasks on their own. And in one of my messages recently, you know, I used the scripture, says, I am with you always, you know, and God is. God's going to be there with you. Because God's a shepherd. And shepherds lead. Okay. When God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, God didn't say, okay, Nineveh's that way. You go ahead and, you know, let me know how things turn out. You know, God was going to be with him. You know, when God told Moses to go to Pharaoh, he didn't say, you know, go and see Pharaoh and you come back here to the burning bush and we'll talk about it and see how things went. No, God was going to be with him. Okay, in Psalm 23, it says, he leads me beside quiet waters. Okay, and when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. You know, so God is with us as we go through the valley. Okay, and that's what it says, when I walk through the valley, not when I walk into the valley. So God is going to be there leading us through the valley. God's going to be there leading us to the quiet waters. Okay, not just pointing the waters over there, not pointing, you know, there's the valley, I'll see you on the other side. No, he's going to lead us to and through those things. And then it says, you know, how long will we dwell in the house of the Lord? For a while? No, forever. You know, I'm living proof that God does not call us to do something totally on our own. When he called me into the ministry, there was no way that I was prepared to do that. My first 2 years, I had a small church part-time out in the middle of the country, and they were a very patient, very loving church. They'd had a lot of other pastors pass through there, like myself, that just starting in the ministry. And, you know, after that, God showed me how things would be. You know, I needed that assurance that I could do it, that I could, you know, be the pastor of a church. Because my second experience, if that had been my first, I probably wouldn't have stayed in the ministry very long. Because, you know, there was conflict there that, you know, I would have said, I don't need this, and gone back to the post office or whatever, you know, decided I needed to be doing something different. But God's not surprised at our response to things. Okay, He knew my first response would not be my final one, that I would go into the ministry, because He called me and He knew that I was going to really hear that was what I needed to be doing. And He knew that Moses was going to be convinced that God was going to be with him to be able to do the things that he needed to do. And God knew that Gideon would finally see that the plan was going to succeed, that God had called him as the least one in the least family for a reason, you know, that God was going to get the glory and not anybody else. And God knew that Jonah eventually would end up in Nineveh. Took some pretty hefty persuading to do that. And God knew that Ananias was going to go and do what he needed to do. Because God does not call us to fail. Okay? If we're not ready, He gives us what we need. There's the saying that goes something like this: God does not always call the equipped, but He always equips the called. Okay, there's some people that have, you know, gone to Bible college. They've done all kinds of things, and they really think that they should be in the ministry or in the mission field or whatever it might be. And God doesn't call them to do that. They're equipped to do it, but maybe God doesn't feel that they're the one to do it. But if He calls you to do something, He's going to say, okay, you got half the stuff you need right now. I'm going to give you the other half, because we're going to do this. Because I'm not going to call you out there to have you fail. So what is God calling you to do? Are you ready? If you're not, He's going to make you ready. Because He wouldn't have called you if He wasn't going to make you ready. So if you feel a call on your life, but you don't see God preparing you for it, you got to test it and see if it's really God or not. You know, because you may be that one that's, you know, gone to Bible college and you got all kinds of degrees and all that, but God isn't calling you to do what you think you should be doing. Or if you feel God calling you and you feel that He wants you to be in a ministry, He wants you to go on the mission field, He wants you to go and speak to one person or 1,000 people, if you feel that's what God wants you to do, and you know that's what God wants you to do, He's going to be with you, because He doesn't want to fail. He doesn't want you to fail. So He's going to be there to lead you to and through whatever it is that He's calling you to. So in order to be called, of course, you got to know the Lord. You know, you've got to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Know that He died on the cross for your sins, that He rose from the dead, and that He's coming back again. That's the first thing you got to know. If you don't know that, then you got to get down on your knees and ask Christ to be the Lord of your life. In His name, amen.